Hallelujah. I tell you, before I even get started with the message this morning, I've been blessed. Amen. I know you're going to be if you haven't been, but I know you are. I mean, it's just been an awesome service. You know, you think the pastor comes, he's going to bring forth the word and bless you. And he does. But I'm blessed. I've been blessed by this service, by the worship, by the songs. It's by the Lord. These gifts functioning in this body, I'm blessed. I mean, you'd had to been here, and you were this morning, some of you, but to hear Jack as y'all was cleaning up, telling about things God is doing in his life through him at the prison with his son and his family. And that's Jesus speaking to us through him, to his people, through his church. And that's what it's all about. It's about us. See, the ministers here, we're here to equip you for the work of the ministry that you're doing. And it's a good work. It's a great work. Let me say that. It's a great work. What Darius and anybody that's out here doing something for God, it's a great work. And I just want to share right here. I mean, I seen this in the Bible and it was there. But, you know, Jesus said, you'll go out and do greater works. Greater works than the Lord himself. Peter said as he walked, they were healed by his shadow. His shadow come in contact with. You don't hear that happening in Jesus' ministry. That was a greater work that Peter did because he lives. See, Christ was living through Peter. And Jesus was in there doing the greater work, and it was just his shadow. Paul, with the apron that was upon him, it touched others. That anointing that was upon him, devils were released from people. Healings came just of the cloth that was on his body. Now, that happened in Jesus too, but that's just a work that was happening because of a man. The Apostle Paul was sold out to Jesus. Amen? All it takes is a willing vessel for us to see the manifested glory of God in the earth. It might just be a hug like Jack was talking about this morning. He just don't give a handshake. He gives hugs. And that's what, handshakes are okay, you know what I mean? But sometimes somebody needs a Holy Ghost hug to let that anointing, heart to heart, be released in a person's life. Amen? It's a great day today, and I just want to tell the Lord thank you for blessing me. If you'll go over to the book of Luke, sunrise service this morning, we talked about the cross, Jesus suffered agony and darkness. We've seen the video, and it's just a glimpse of the agony. You know, we can't even imagine what the Lord suffered because he went through a lot. And he did it for us. He suffered for us so that we don't have to. Now, I'm talking about you're going to suffer persecution, but all this sickness and disease that was put upon his body, that was received in his body on that cross, we don't have to receive that because he paid the price for it. He gave his blood so that we could be set free from that. Now, we're going to suffer persecution in this world. He said, you're going to have that. But he said, you're not going to have cancer, cataracts, allergies. He didn't say nothing about that, did he? He said, you're going to suffer persecution. He suffered for all that sickness and disease. And he didn't take it to heaven with him. Come on. He took it to hell, where it belongs. And he left it there. Amen. That's where we're going. We're going to the resurrection. That cross, we all need to come to the cross. But we ain't staying there, right? Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of Luke. And let's look in Luke 23. You're carrying that persecution. Persecution is going to always be with you. This flesh is going to always be with you. Until it's glorified. Amen. Luke 23. We're going to read verses 44 through 56 right here. And a little bit more in Luke, but let's pray over this word. Father, we thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the word that you're getting ready to release to your people, Father, as we focus on what happened to our Lord and to our Savior, Lord, that we thank you, Lord, for revelation knowledge today, for change in our life, Father God, that's going to help change others. And we just thank you right now for the anointing, Holy Spirit. I thank you for your anointing, for your ministry, that you minister to me and through me and to your people. And we just thank you for the gifts and the operation of the gifts flowing today in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 44. It says, it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. 3 hours total darkness. This wasn't just the lights went out. This was darkness they talked about in the Old Testament at the Passover. You could feel it. You could feel darkness. That's how dark it was. You couldn't even see each other. Total darkness. 3 days. We think about 3 minutes. Think about 3 days. And the sun also was darkened. See, God said, let there be light in the beginning. That wasn't the sun He created. The sun came later. Now the sun's darkened. You can't see nothing. Total darkness. And the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out, He'd already suffered all the ridicule, all the spit, and all the cursing, and all the beatings that He would take. And He's at His last breath here. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, He said, Father. He didn't call for His disciples this time. John, Mary, He didn't call for mother. He called for His Father. Into Your hands I commit My spirit. Having said this, He breathed His last. The song said it. It was finished. The old covenant, the law, was finished. It was nailed to a cross. That ministry of death had to die. So when the centurion saw what happened, he glorified God. Smart man, can we say amen? Saying, certainly this was a righteous man. Why didn't they say that to him while he was alive? Huh? He was a righteous man while he lived also. Why we want to wait till death, till somebody dies, until they want to say God is real? Amen. And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had happened been done, they beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintance, that's who we are, we're acquainted with the Lord. And the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance and they watched all these things. Verse 50. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and a just man. He was of the Sanhedrin. 71 Jews that were a council. In other words, that was the religious party of the Romans for the religious sect there. They were the churchy people. He was in the Sanhedrin. He had not consented to their decision and deed. In other words, he knew who Jesus was. He didn't want him crucified. And he was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And he took it down and he wrapped it in linen and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock where no one had ever lain. And I would gather to say probably nobody else laid there forever if I know Joseph. That day was the preparation and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Now Mary, the mother of Jesus, was with those women. When your son is not home, you follow where he's at. You want to know where he's at. Them ladies wanted to know where their body, where her son, where their Lord was going to be laid. See, a lot of times, guys, we don't care about all the details sometimes. Not mama. She wants to know where her son is and where his body was going to be laid. And they returned and they prepared spices and fragrant oils and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Verse 20, chapter 24. And on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, and that's what we celebrated this morning, that sunrise service. We had a lot more light than what they had. It wasn't real dark, real light out there, but they had more light. Those women came early to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus, which one of them would have been her son. That had been Mary. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed, mama's upset, about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And I wonder, I'm going to read different accounts, but I love this account. And they said, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Oh, my spirit's jumping up and down right there. See, they're looking for the body. They want to see the body. I want to see Jesus. And he ain't there. That's bad English, but that's good preaching. He ain't there. And the stone was rolled away because they couldn't hold our Lord. Why you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember, here's the words, remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. Did Jesus say anything that he didn't do? No. He did what he said he would do. He said, I'm going to be 3 days, but I'm coming back. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down. And the Father said, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Amen? We got two in agreement. God and God in agreement. It's going to happen. It happened, amen? And it's still happening today. That new birth when somebody gives their heart to Jesus. We can't see it on the outside, but we know it's what's happened on the inside. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Saying, he's not here. He was going to Galilee saying the Son of Man must be delivered. He had to be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And, there's another conjunction, the third day, he would rise again. And they remembered his words. And then they returned from the tomb and told all these things. Here's the women going back to the men. Telling them all the things they had seen that morning. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them. Might as well say Mary the mother of Jesus. Who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed as idle tales. See, the men they're still mourning. They're still grieving the death of their friend, of Jesus. And they did not believe them. See, that flesh has got to be crucified. The flesh never wants to see what is really happening on the inside, in the spirit. But Peter, somebody say, but Peter. The one that cussed at him, said he never knew him. Something was speaking on the inside that was going to come loose on the outside. But Peter arose and ran. He didn't walk, he ran. Darius knows something about running, don't you, Darius? He ran to the tomb. And stooping down, he saw the linen clothes laying by themselves. And he departed, and he marveled to himself at what had happened. Now, I want to take you over. Keep that thought. Keep that picture of what all is going on. Boy, bad things have happened for the last week. The last 3 days. From Friday, might as well say Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Those 3 days, it was rough. Man, here's somebody they've been with 3.5 years in the ministry, was nailed to a cross, bled and died, who talked about great things. They were expecting it to happen then, right then. But they didn't have the whole picture. But the picture, the story wasn't over, right, Terry? It was just beginning. It was just beginning. So let's go over to the book of Mark. Go back a little bit. Mark 16. Oh, hallelujah, he lives. Thank you, Mark. Going to the book of Mark, and thank you, Mark, for singing that song. He lives, he lives. He lives inside of me. Mark 16. I was going to go to verse 14, but let's just go back to he is risen again. I think it needs to be said again. How about it? Can we take his resurrection one more time? Glory to God. Chapter 16 here, verse 1. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Solomon, they bought spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? You know, a lot of times that stone represents sin in your life. Who's going to roll away that problem you got? That's a mountain for you. His name's Jesus. Jesus will. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed, or do not fear, don't be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was, past tense, was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter. Specifically, they said, and Peter. See, Jesus left specific instructions for those angels right there. Don't forget Peter, because I know his heart. See, Jesus knew the flesh. He wore that flesh for 33 years. He knew what the flesh was capable of. It couldn't happen to him because he was God in the flesh. But he was wearing that flesh. Amen? The same flesh that we're wearing. And he knows what it's capable of. But he's saying to you, just like he said to the angels, tell Brenda, tell Tammy, and Peter, and Terry, and Larry. He knows you by name. Right? He knows you by name. That he is going before you into Galilee, there you will see him as he said to you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. They kind of ran, shaken. You ever ran shaken in fear, perplexed? Man, this is a lot of stuff happening. This is a lot of power going on. These are impossibilities happening. They're running in fear and shaking. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Verse 9, and when they rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. See, the flesh doesn't want to believe it. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe. Jesus has got a work to do. He's got to get these disciples back in faith. See, they're in the flesh right now, and we all have been there, and we're all going to be there in times of the flesh. But we got to look to something greater. We got to look on the inside. That resurrection power that's living on the inside of me and you is alive always because of Christ. Amen. He suffered once on that cross. He died once, and he lives forevermore. And when we get born again, we don't have to die. Thank God. Yes. We can't pay the penalty for our sin. He did. He paid that price once for all. And I thought about as Mary was there in the tomb and the others had ran and she was left there and she couldn't find the Lord's body. Mary Magdalene, that said Jesus appeared to her. But she didn't recognize him. Now you can, you know, the Lord appeared to another form to two on the road. You know, he can do what he needs to do because he doesn't want people to remember him in the flesh. He wants them to remember his words. Because the words that he speaks to us, they are spirit and they are life. He wants to take the flesh out of the equation. Because we're in a time to where we're not seeing Jesus in the flesh anymore. We've got to see him by his word so we won't be deceived. Because he told us in our day, even in his day, that there's going to be many Christs come, false Christs come to you, saying, I am the one, I'm here. And they're going to do miracles. But they're not going to be of the sheepfold. And he said, do not be deceived. I am not there. Because when we're going to see him, we're going to see him come. We're not going to have to look, well, he's in a building. No. When Jesus comes again, every eye shall see. Every tongue is going to confess that this is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he told us. That's why he appeared in another form. You've got to remember me as the Word. Amen? And that's what the Holy Spirit is there to help you, to be that witness. This is the Lord. And he's not going to be in the earth. He's going to be coming in glory the next time. But also, think about, we was here this morning, those that were here for sunrise service, and we was here early. But dawn, we had already passed that point of dawn. It's when I've been out in the woods hunting, and you get out before the break of dawn. When it is dark, you get up in a tree, whatever you get, and as it starts to break, you know, it's just very, you can barely see. Well, think about Mary at the tomb. And the gardener, it says the gardener, she thought, spoke to her. Well, if he's standing there, if he's got a robe on, and this, it ain't even light yet, she doesn't know that's the Lord. But something on the inside does. Her spirit knows the man. The Spirit of God knows Jesus. And that's what he did when he spoke to her. He said, Mary. And then when she heard her name and that spirit, she knew it was the Lord. And she rejoiced. See, he reveals himself to us by his word. Peace, comfort, joy. That's all parts of the Spirit of God. Amen. The devil's out to bring sickness, disease, torment, agony, suffering. And at this point, you know, and I hear some Christians, and I'm talking about recently, think they have to suffer for Christ. And I'm talking about with pain, with disease. When they don't see that manifestation, they think, well, it's okay, I got to suffer for the Lord. No, you don't. He suffered for us. And any time we want to take away from what Christ did, the devil's just there. Yes, I got him. I got her. Because that's a falseness. That's a deception of who Christ is. Satan is the god of the flesh. And anything that comes with it is evil. Amen? I cannot please God in this flesh, in this body, right? Even though I put my hands up right now, I can't please God in this flesh. I please him in my spirit. Now, through my spirit, when I put my hands up, I'm pleasing God, but he's not looking at my flesh. God's not looking at my flesh. He's looking at my heart. He's looking at our hearts. But then the resurrection power comes from your spirit, help me, Tammy, through that soul. You get your foot starts to tapping. You're starting to feel something from your spirit. See, there is a feeling, but it's the glory that you're feeling coming from his spirit, his resurrection power that lives on the inside of us. That's what drives out the sickness, drives out the disease, drives out the diabetes, makes dead kidneys come alive and live a long, satisfied life. It's what the Word of God says. I will satisfy you with long life while I satisfy you and show you my salvation. We can see his salvation. How do you see it? Not in the spirit. You don't see the wind when it blows, do you? You see the effects of the winds blowing. I don't see Christ in me, in my flesh, but I see the effects of Christ in me. Of healing, of joy, when there shouldn't be no joy. Peace, when there shouldn't be no peace. That's Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's the resurrection power on the inside of us that God has given us. Amen? That's what we celebrate today. Not just today, every day. Amen? Because Christ lives. He lives. He lives. Amen. He lives inside of us. Hallelujah. All this is going on. All this is happening. The disciples they have not yet received Pentecost. They haven't received this feast that's coming. So they're having a hard time with all this. That's okay. Jesus knew they would. But he also prayed a prayer with the Father that didn't include them one-on-one at one time. He said, Father, all those you have given me, I pray for them, Lord. Lord, I'm going to have to leave this place soon, Father. And I pray that you keep them. Don't take them from the earth, Lord, but keep them. I commit them to you, because he knew he was going to have to leave temporarily. But somebody committed us to the Father. Jesus committed us to the Father before he even left. We were signed, sealed, and delivered. Even though he had to go to hell, he said, Father, look after my boys till I get back. Girls, he signed, sealed, and delivered us with his promise. And God, the Father said, you got it, son. I got you back. H&R Block is famous for, we got you back. I tell you what, God's got your back. God had the son's back. When he went to hell, God said, I got him, son. Take care of business down there, and I'll take care of business till you get back. They're working together. Jesus is going to go preach this gospel to the souls that were bound in bondage for fear for all their life in the depths of Sheol. That same spirit that left on the cross went to hell in darkness. Hell, that's darkness. Light appeared. Abraham saw him in his day, but now he's seeing him in Abraham's bosom. He's seeing him. He finally got to see this Lord he believed in. And that's the same Jesus, the same Lord, took him out of that place. took him out of there. Amen? Now, see, you got to understand, I mean, I can't explain this in my mind. We're just talking about 3 days that he was gone. But Jesus had to come back. Third day, he came back into his body. That means they were gone before then. I ain't sure when. It might have been when they believed. You know, they had to hear the gospel. They had to, everything had to work according to God's plan. But as soon as they said, that's to Jesus, they might have took on out. See, they're a spirit. We can't see, though. We can't see the spirit, right? So we don't know. I don't know how all that happened, but all I know is it happened. Just like that thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me. Remember me in your king when you come into your kingdom. Oh, he was already in his. He was the king. All he needed somebody would say, I want to be in your kingdom. He said, all those that ask, you shall receive. He said, this day, not tomorrow, not next week, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Wherever Jesus is, that's paradise. Amen. You might be, Bootsy, everything in your house might be broke, but you're in paradise. Because the greater one of Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you, and he's got greater blessings for you. And the devil's defeated, and you're going to see those days. You're going to see those days here on the earth. You're going to see his blessing and glory and favor, however he wants to display it in your life in the name of Jesus. That he's there to take care of the widows. He said, he also told the church to take care of them, but he is the head of the church. Amen. So it's going to work out. I said, it's going to work out. Amen? Amen. Because he's not slack concerning his promises. He's not slack. Amen? Sometimes I wear my tennis shoes and I don't have them tied too tight and I got some slackness that don't feel right. I have to tighten them up a little bit. There's no slackness in God, in his promises. He don't let nothing loose. He keeps it tight. But we got to do our part. We can't have loose lips. Amen. Come on now. That's where we can be slack and say, you know, don't speak against his promises. Be in agreement with his promises. Because see, that's how we please him, by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Amen? Amen. So all this is happening, and now we're getting to some great news. Jesus is going to tell us what we can do now. Now, he's done his part. He's lived 33 years here on the earth. He's suffered all this persecution, his family rejecting him, but he still had a relationship with God and he never sinned. And he did have to receive sin in his body. He had to die. He received the greatest sin that ever could be taken, and that was separation from his Father. And he did it legally. That's the key. See, the devil tempted him, wanted him to do it illegally. But Jesus didn't operate as God. He operated as a man, just like me and you, because he knew that was the way back to heaven, legally. It's just, I believe, Lord. So in verse 14 here in Mark, verses 14 through 20, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief. Jesus still has to rebuke unbelief, and you will too. It's going to come. It's going to be here as long as we're wearing this body. Unbelief is going to come. He rebuked the unbelief and the hardness. And what unbelief does, if you keep tolerating it, it'll make your heart hard. What that does is you'll tolerate it. See, you'll take little things on little things. Next thing you know, you're dealing with something. You can't figure out why I can't get rid of it. But see, it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. It hardens your heart. It makes you insensitive to the Word of God, and we just kind of let it go. Oh, that's okay. I can withstand that. Let it go. See, then the devil brings something else. He don't hit you, like say, all at one time. He's just going to more or less little things. And then all of a sudden, you're in a big thing. We need to be preparing before the storm comes, right? Amen. And he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of the heart because they did not believe those who had seen him and he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. If your teacher won't listen to you, if your best friend won't listen to you, tell your dog about Jesus. Tell your cat about Jesus. Every creature. Until you got faith in this word that you're preaching. Amen? You might have to start with the bird, the canary that sings to you every morning. Sing back to him in Jesus. Sing him a song. Build your faith wherever it starts at. But this gospel, this word is true. If they reject it, you just go on to the next person. Because, see, they have to believe. You can't make them believe. They have to believe on their own. They got a choice to make. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Amen. Now, that baptism, it's not talking about water. It's talking about being baptized into Christ. Because when you believe, you are immersed into His body, into Christ. And then you become the body of the Lord. We are His body. He is the head. And you shall be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. You're in the flesh. That's what he got crucified for not believing. It had to be, that flesh that Jesus was carrying had to be nailed to the cross. These signs shall follow those who what? Believe. If you're not seeing signs, that doesn't make the Word of God none effective. It's still true. Somebody's not believing it somewhere. Amen? But if you believe, these signs are going to follow. Now, I just prayed with one of Ruthie's friends this past week at the beach. She was just dealing with something in her body. We're sitting eating pizza at the pizza store. And I said, you know how simple it is to believe the promises of God just like this? And I told her, just like changing a diaper on a baby. Now, some of you, that might not be too easy. But I've raised four kids, and I got to where I could do it pretty about with my eyes closed, Brenda. Change them diapers. When mama's not there, daddy got to do what he got to do. You look for the best diaper, the easiest one to change. And I learned how to do it pretty quick, so that really wasn't a good thing to say to her. She probably hadn't messed with baby diapers yet. But she had something bothering her for a month in her throat, like a lump. 10 minutes by the time we prayed, 10 minutes walking out the door, she was like, it doesn't hurt anymore. It's gone. And I said, now, Ruth, and told her, the same way you received that is the same way you received Jesus. And then I said, Ruthie, now just share with your friend the gospel. Because, see, sometimes we make it too hard, too complicated. It's got to be simple. Just believe. Amen. Now, the devil's there. You know, as we grow older, he's going to fight us tooth and nail. But we got to stand our ground. It's still the work that Christ has did, not what I do. It's my faith in what he did, right? And we got to stand and proclaim it. These signs, they will follow. They will follow you. Who believe in my name, they will cast out devils if you need to. In my name, you will speak with new tongues. You shall take up serpents. And they shall not, any deadly thing shall not hurt you. Amen? This is written in red here. It will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick. Didn't say pray for the sick. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. See, that's just your faith doing what Jesus said. If they believe it, it will recover. Things will happen. But you got to believe it and you got to speak it. And then you just got to let God do His work. Amen. And that takes the burden off us. You have the resurrection power on the inside of you. I do. In verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, He was received up into heaven and set down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere. The Lord, what did He do? He's doing what He said He would do. As they preached the Word, see, the Word's the key. The Word is the seed of God. It's got to get into the ground. That lily out there represents new life. First, before it could be a lily, it had to be a seed put into the ground. God's Word has to be in your heart, has to be believed, and then received into your heart, and then you will grow. That Word will grow, and you'll receive the fruit of that Word. Health, wholeness, sound mind, longevity, financial blessings. As you give, it's going to be given back to you. Amen? So you've already sowed your seed this morning. You should be believing for the harvest before you sow the seed. That goes back to what we talked about this morning. In the book of John, talks about except a grain fall into the ground and die. See, Jesus had to go to the grave. He had to die, take the life of God that was on the inside of me, on Him, which is in me now and in you. See, when that seed has life on the inside of it, right? When you put it into the ground, see, Jesus was put into the earth, but He had the life of God on the inside of Him. He was a spirit. And through that life, He was reborn. God quickened Him and brought Him back and put Him back into that body. That's how we get born again. Jesus went into the earth, but now we are many. He was the firstborn of many brethren. Of many. Now we are a number added to that life. Because He lives, I live, and you live. Amen. Ruthie, if you want to come up. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Ruthie. That's the story. Resurrection power. Amen. Resurrection power. So we've got a great commission. It's a good commission to go tell others about this Jesus that is not dead. He's alive. Yeah, they're trying to find Him. You know, they'll have all these movies finding Jesus. Guess what? Jesus ain't lost. I was. He found me. Amen. You can't look for Him with your natural eyes and find Him, but you start looking with Him with your heart, He's right there. You don't have to go no further than right here. His Word is near you, even in your mouth. Amen.